You got yourself a bride. That's what we're going to be studying today, and when we get into Genesis 24, a bride. How did you guys come up getting your bride or your groom when it happened to you? Some of you aren't there yet, so hang tough. Do you remember? What was it like? How'd you get your girl? Chased her? Did you trip her so you could catch her? Yeah, damn, there we go. I got the one here. Yeah?
I got her dog to like me best first.
Oh, okay. We entered the dog like me best. Yeah, how about you, sis? Debbie?
It was almost 40 years ago.
I know. Dust. You guys, oh my God. You know the moon was this big and there are 5 stars in the sky. Mary and I met in a bar. My mom introduced us. They were having a party. My buddy owned a Mexican restaurant, had a bar in the back, and there was about 30 people. And, I just met her. I was smitten from day one. Didn't know the Lord. Total pagan. And happy about it. And then I just remembered, I can go back now and listen to what I know God is. But at the time, I just was taken by her, you know. She's just a beautiful girl, had a beautiful heart, laughed her from here to Dallas, and that's a big laugh. And she still laughs. I mean, she can sit, the only gal I know that can literally open up the funny papers, and yes, we still take a paper. She can look at the funny papers, read something, and laugh at it. I just go, oh, that's funny. And she just, you know. It makes my joke telling real easy in my home, right? You know, in the Old Testament, the old school days, you know how marriages were put together? The father arranged them. Did you know that? The father put them together. He's the one that said, hey, this is how it's going to go down. Isn't that wild? For us, it's kind of like, well, that's weird. I don't want dad telling me what guy I should marry. Well, remember that you were property, women. And it would have been, in many cases, an honor to have somebody of any kind of subsistence to look over you. Because if you didn't have somebody look over you, you were cast aside. You know, I'm not saying it was right, but that's the way it was. You know, and the father arranged the marriage. And I love that part. Isaac has a bride. Woohoo! 37 years old, but his mom just died, as we read last week when we were in 23. She was 127 years old, the only woman in the Bible that actually has her age given. Maybe that's why we say, don't ask a woman her age. Right? I don't know. But before we get into that, it's kind of a tale of two tales, and we'll kind of explore that. Have you ever heard of a guy named Leonardo? Do you know who I'm talking about?
The Blue Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, the Blue Ninja Turtle, right? No, I mean Leonardo DiCaprio. No, the painter dude, right? Do you know who the painter dude is? All right, what's he kind of famous for painting?
The Sistine Chapel.
The who? The Sistine Chapel? That's Michael D'Angelo. No, I'm kidding. There's no D. I have a buddy whose last name is D'Angelo. So what has he painted? What did you say? Was that the same thing? Okay. Some said, you remember the finger touch? God, man touching God, God touching man, right? How about this one? Do you remember this one? Oh, dude, can you see? Let me drop this. Dude, food. Just to let you know, that's not really how they sat at a table. The table would have sat in a U shape like this, about that far off the ground, and they would lay it like on a pillow. That's why, how could John lay his head on Jesus' breast and speak to him? Well, he would just kind of go like that, because they would lay with their head in, their feet out. But that's okay. It's a Roman context. He first painted this thing. He was not happy with the colors and the layout, and everything was wrong, just wrong. Do you know what he did? He, in modern terms, he rolled paint over the canvas and started again. What he did when he first started was, Jesus was his youthful face, and Judas was his worst enemy. When he re-rolled it and repainted it, the one you see now, his worst enemy is Jesus' face, and he has the face of Judas. Isn't that something? You see it one way, but yet, it's another way, right? Now, so you know the guy that's playing Jesus, because you know a lot of artists, when they paint, some of their own facial features will come up in the painting. That's why many a times you'll see a specific feature look with great similitude throughout the painting, right? So now the picture that he has, and of course, Jesus, this is a Roman Jesus, so, you know, that's probably not what he looked like, because that's a pretty handsome dude And he said in Scripture, in Isaiah, that he was of no great comeliness, that nobody would be attracted to him, right? So now you have the rest of the story. But here we have a wedding. We have a wedding. We have a bride. And I love to see that we have this bride that's coming up. Let's go to Genesis 24. Anybody need a Bible? We'll be in the New King James Version. Anybody we got going once, going twice, they're free? Sold. All right, we got it. We'll be in 24 here. And we have an old Abraham. He's an old fellow. Everybody say, old. Hey, some of you said it too strongly. But he has a servant. And you know how old his servant is? 85 years old. And he's going to conscript his servant to go out and get a daughter-in-law, a bride for his son, Isaac, right? Father, your word, please. Now, Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in what? All things. Was there anything that he was not blessed in? All things, right? So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, that 85-year-old dude who ruled over all that he had. So get this, that 85-year-old dude has been with him probably a long time. I don't know how old Abraham is yet. Sorry. But he ruled, he was with him, and he was his right hand. You know, a leader always needs somebody with their right hand, right? Well, let me tell you something about his right hand. He had keys to everything. He had the credit cards. He had the bank account. He had cash. He had coin. He had it all, right? He had access to it. So Abraham said in verse 2 of 24, So Abraham said to his oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh, and I'll make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for the son of my daughters from the Canaanites among who I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son. What is the deal with the feel on the thigh, right? What is it? Well, if we seal something, we do what? Do we shake hands? And if it's a real important, we go... You guys do that? You don't shake hands with a spit loogie in your hand anymore? Whoa, I still do. So you better not. No, I'm kidding. I don't. Some of you guys will come and you go, "Ask you. Oh, I got a cold. How you doing?" We're not agreeing to anything except you have a cold and I'm not shaking your hand. That's kind of what that is. That's just to put a little emphasis. I don't know what the deal is with the thigh. You know, I don't know if because a lot of the trading goes on with sign language under a cloth in that area. I don't know if it's similitude to that or related in some way, but that's what they do. In 5, and the servant said to him, "Perhaps this woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" But Abraham said, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord of the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house," and you guys remember the story we went through, "and from the land of my family, and spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land.' He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do you take my son, do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning the matter. It's done. This is what's going to happen. Where is he heading? Well, we know he's in the area of Bethel, which is just north of Jerusalem. He's going to head back up north into what we would know as Syria today, Assyria, to a place called Haran. Haran meant mountaineer, or we would probably say mountain man. I'm sure everybody wore flannel up there. I don't know. But he goes back up there, and he's going to go see his brother, Abraham's brother, Nahor. Do you know what Nahor means? Snore. Now, he would have been Snore Jr. because his granddad was also Nahor. So he snores just like Grandpa. He snored just like Grandpa did. Let's name him Snore. That's his name. So they're going to go up there, and they're going to get a bride from Snore, the mountain man in that country. So this 85-year-old servant, he takes 10 of his master's camels and departs. I want you to know something about this servant. Did you see him inquiring? Inquiring of what to do? Of what to do if something doesn't happen well? Have you ever had an employee do that for you, or they just do whatever you tell them and they don't take the initiative? Or maybe you're that employee that will take that initiative. You know, when you sign the front of the check, you want people like this. When you sign the back of the check, you need to be people like this. And if you're not, be that person. If you already are, continue it, because we work as unto the Lord, right? I love this. I would love to have a team full of people like this guy, the 85-year-old dude. He took 10 of his master's camels and departed, and all his master's good were in his hand. Do you understand that he took it all? He's going to go get a bride, and we're talking dowry. You guys know what a dowry is, right? If not, Google it. In his hand. And he rose and went to Mesopotamia, the city of Snore. Right? This is not an easy trip that he made. You know, they're going to be taking round trip about 900 miles, 450 aside. And this guy is 85 years old. I'm leaving for a funeral this Tuesday morning and going to be driving yet again my father, 86, to Oklahoma City because his sister had passed. And please pray for him. You know, please pray for him. He is totally content with where her location is. But as with any loss, there's sadness, and sadness can abound. And I had to make a little extra three-hour jaunt in the trip, and he talked about, you know, I've only got so much gas in the tank because we've just done three trips with him over the last month and a half, right? Now, Dad's in great shape. He's clear of mind. He walks 2-3 miles a day with his dog and himself. Those that you know him, will you'll find that he'll probably rival you in the sense of alertness and engaged and just all about his business. He's really a neat fella. I love him to pieces. But that drive is going to be kind of hard on him a little bit. So I'm just sitting there thinking while I'm writing this up, I'm going, my God, this guy did camels. He's like 40 days on the back of a camel. That's without stops or stop for hunting or whatever, fishing along the way. Yeah? But he takes 10 and he's loading up all the goods. How many camels did he need? All of them. Save a few to bring Rebecca back if she's even going to be there. In 11... So he's already there. So at 10, he left. 11, he's on scene. So we have a whole month we don't know anything about, and that's fine. We don't need to know anything about it. And when he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go draw water, he said in prayer, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I might drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one who you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. And it happened. Before he had finished speaking that, behold, Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, and wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with a pitcher on her shoulder. Now, you need to understand, it is custom for water to be given to somebody if it's a stranger. You know, if you're carrying your big clay urn on your shoulder, carrying however many gallons at 8.33 pounds per gallon, you got a lot of water going on, right? And she's coming down to the well, and then she's going to pour water for this guy. That was normal. So we'll give somebody water, right? You see people on the street, or somebody comes in, the trash guy, you know, whoever's working outside, your cable guy, whoever it is, right? I love my guys that come by and pick up my refuse. I always go out. I try to be there to give them water or something to eat or something to drink. And they're so great. They always take their glove. I'm like, dude, you don't have to do that. You know, I'm not worried about it. Just shake my hand, bro. You know, I worked in the oil field. It's all good. It's all good. But there's a point where you cross and say, well, you know, it's a little outside my comfort zone giving a little bit more than that, right? We may say, okay, here's a water and I'll get you a cheeseburger, but I don't know about anything else. Stay in my house, I don't know. We just get that way. But this is what's happened. I mean, God put it on his heart. You know how God that does. You'll be like, we prayed and this happened. Well, yes, because God put it on your heart to prepare you to be ready for the glory that he's going to be revealed through the prayer he just gave you to give you insight of what was happening next. Because God doesn't look as yesterday, today, and tomorrow differently. He sees it as all one timeline. See, we don't, days and nights are but for us, not for him. Rebecca, it means to ensnare. Anybody here named Rebecca? It means to ensnare. But let me tell you one thing about the ensnare. It's not ensnare like a trap for a rabbit if you're hunting. It's an ensnare of beauty. This gal was a beautiful gal. She was just a flat-out knockout, right? And her name was attached to that beauty. But there's others here in a minute we'll look at that speak to her beauty. But she was born to a guy named Bethuel. Do you know what Bethuel's name is? Is man of God. When somebody calls your name, are you known as a man of God or a man of the world? Because there's only two choices. If you're a man of self or a man of the world, you're not a man of God. You're being mean. Suck it up. You know, because, hey, dude, when I was drugging and doing all the stupid stuff, I was there too, you know. So it is what it is. But his name is man of God. And the mother, his name is Milcah. And that has nothing to do with cows. It is queen. That her name is queen. You know, I still call my Mary my bride. Do you call your bride your bride? Do you call her your queen? Do you think of her in those terms? Remind me of that when I'm dogging on her about something, right? And then Nahor, right? So she said in 18, drink, my Lord, when he asked for some water. Then she quickly let her pitcher down and gave him a drink. And then when she finished giving him a drink, she also said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. And then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran back to the well. Dude, when was the last time you carried a chunk of concrete and ran with it? Are you feeling me? She ran yesterday. Me too, bro. We carried two stuff off for the trash here. It was like totally cool. I had young bucks around me. I was like, yeah. Ran back to the well and drew water for his camels. Well, let's think about this. Do you know how much camels drink? 25 gallons circa, especially after a 450-mile trip. So if she's, how many camels were there? 10 times 25 is 250 at 8.33 pounds per gallon. Just say a ton of water she carried, about 2,100 pounds. Crazy, huh? How you women feeling, you prairie women, right? Bringing that water on. Just to feed the animals. That was not a requirement. That was the nature of her heart. That, to me, is her beauty. That, to me, is the ensnarement of her beauty. Are you listening? The ensnarement of your heart, which is guided by your mind. That's the part I love. And in 21, the man wondering at her remained silent, just as so as to know whether the Lord has made his journey prosperous or not. You know what he's doing? He's sitting there going, is she the one? Is this it? Are you really doing this? Are you putting this together? Because let me tell you something. When God gives you something he's fixing to do and he does it, and you're kind of going, should I stay or should I go? Right? You're kind of wondering, what should I do? We saw that in the baptism last week, right? We were sitting here, you guys were here, the one that were at the men's Saturday morning, and it was like, I want you to put out the baptismal trough. I'm going to look like a fool if they don't show up, right? And we had 12 people, five rededicated their lives to the Lord, three rededicated, and four came in for baptism. They got wet till they bubbled, right? And they came to know the Lord. God is not interested in your plan or your concern about your plan. He's interested in his plan. He wants you willfully to go through and work for him because he's a good father and a good son, a good daughter, works for a good father. I know some of you have had bad dads, and I'm sorry. Had one for a while myself. But that's not, what he did is not a determination of what God is. Because all we do, men, have to emulate our Father, and we become that good Father as well, that good man of God. I lost my place. Oh, and the man wondered, okay, so 22. So it was when the camels had finished their drinking that the man took a golden nose ring weighing about a half a shekel, about a quarter of a silver, and two bracelets on her wrist weighing about 10 shekels or 5 ounces of gold, and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? A camel's going to eat about 10 pounds of food. That's another sack of feed of about 100 pounds. You see? Do you have room for all the guys that came with the camel? Do you have room to feed the camels in your lodge?" So she said, "I'm the daughter of man of God, queen's son, whom she bore to snore. Moreover," she said to him, "we have both straw and feed enough to room and to lodge." Yeah? Then the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Do you see what's going on here? This is called thankfulness. God has given him vision by his master. It has come to fruition. That's why many times you'll see up here right afterwards, yeah, we may be doing communion after you guys, but we're thanking the Lord for what he's done. We don't care. We want to praise him. You guys remember the story. 10 lepers got healed. The Samaritan, the half-breed, is the only one that came back. The other 9 didn't. And he come back and said, "Thanks. No spots." Right? And Jesus doesn't look at him and acknowledge the spots. He goes, "Where's the other 9? He's a good father. You know, men, we take our hats off when we pray. We take our hats off when we meet a woman. We stand up when one enters the room. You give your chair up on the bus. The women eat before you. In my wife's culture, the men eat first and the children second, or vice versa, and the women eat last. Well, I told you, I rock my wife's whole family. I'm like, no, y'all eat first. We'll eat last. You bow in thankfulness. And why am I talking mainly to the men today? Because you're the spiritual head of your home, or fixing to be. And you need to get your life in order with the Lord ahead of time so that the blessings will flow. Well, can I be blessed as a man if my girl or my wife is doing X, Y, and Z? Yeah, but why would you do that? Why not share in that blessing? Be that man of God. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Strongest men I know are men that follow after Jesus Christ. How do I know? Because I was on the other side of the fence and I saw perceived strength, which was actual weakness, portraying as strength. I'm the daughter of man of God. I'm the queen's son. I'm bored of the snore. Moreover, she said, "We have enough food." The man bowed down and worshiped the Lord, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth towards my master." Mercy means not getting what you deserve. "As for me, being on the way, the Lord led to the house my master's brethren." So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. "He gave me this jewelry, and he laid down and started crying out to the Lord, Nahor, Dad, brother Laban," which means white, or in Spanish, blanco, blank. All these things happened. I love this guy. In his prayer, you see the nature of this guy, right? He's so focused on his mission. He's so focused on getting things done. He's focused on praying for his boss. He's focused on blessing his boss and thanking the Lord. Let me ask you about focus. How long do you think it takes the American person to start getting distracted? How long? What? Go. How long? Huh? 4 seconds. Anybody else? Six? Do I hear 10? 4 minutes? 2 seconds? Give me a rodeo, will you? Let me see what we got here. You guys know anything about rodeo? What's a rodeo ride? Yes, sir. 8 seconds. Yeah? How'd you like to be that fella? Yeehaw! Or amen in Southern, right? Let's see that next picture. What do you think about this one? Dude. Well, you got to give credit to the picture, right? Right. Yeah, what do you think about that? That's why you got a cowboy hat. There's actually a spring up under. I'm kidding. There's no spring. It's coming. It'll be when the flowers bloom. 8 seconds is how long you can hold your... I just want you to know something. There is a beast that God has created that can hold their attention span a little longer than you. You want to see it? You can't hold your focus as long as a goldfish. Why is that? Let's talk about why is that. The screens of all sorts and sizes. I'll tell you, I'm having dialogue with people now that are Twitter conversations. They'll literally only send it one way and it's over with. Are you smarter than a goldfish? You think? Well, let me tell you what happens if you're not. You get this. Right? Don't you love Dory? She's just a total airhead, and she's not even blonde. And do you blondes get over it? Because I once was. And now I'm found. This guy has such focus. This is how we are to be with the matters of the Lord. See, he's working for his master. We work for our master. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Just show up where I grow up. And you'll see the work done. See, that gal doing the excess is excess. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time that you went and scrubbed somebody's window when you had gas that you were filling up or right after? How about sweeping the floors at a restaurant? You know, yesterday I had a couple young bucks help me unload some. We had a lot of debris. We had 2 trailer loads that we had to take. And thank God for free day. Thank you, Fort Lupton. Woo, taxes work. We got done, we pulled in here, went over to Burrito Delight, and I walked in. Burrito Delight station's probably 9 tables, 8, something like that. Tables covered with everything. I mean, there wasn't a table open except ours, and we moved the stuff off to another table. Ordered our food, got our drinks, and looked over and ate our food when it came in. When the food got done, we went over and we cleared all the tables that were there, stacked them up and set them inside their pass-through on the food. And the lady, you know, because she speaks Spanish, I don't, but just a little. I speak English and she doesn't, but just a little. I only order one thing, so they always know what to get me, so there's no confusion. So we start handing things over. She comes out with a rag, and I said, please. And so I'm washing, and then she takes whatever the dish that was here and walks it around and comes back out. And as she does that, I go, Jesus te ama. Jesus te ama. Because she had this puzzled look on her face. Why are you doing this? Jesus te ama. Do you guys know what that means? Jesus loves you. Jesus te ama. What does that have to do with Jesus Christ? I can't even speak the lady's language. I had to Google Jesus loves you. Or my buddy did. Jesus te ama. So that we could talk to her about Christ and move the stuff for the table for lessen her burden. Because on trash day, they're busy. And if they see dirty tables, some people won't come in and use their business. As soon as we got done, 2 or 3 more tables got loaded up again. Why can't you do that? What, are you bragging on yourself? No, bro, you know me better than that. I use them as examples to show you how the practical application of Christianity applies. The ministry of being present. Thinking of people more highly than you do yourself. See, because when I was caught up doing drugs and alcohol and all this other stuff, who was I thinking of more than I was thinking anybody else? Me. Right? It's simple. Kiss, kiss, hug, hug. I love to hug the guy in the mirror, but he's got a really flat face. That's because it's a reflection on a flat piece. Do you understand what's going on? But when you become a man of faith or a woman of faith, you care more about others than you care about yourself. Do you know why? Because Christ cared about us, and he wants to send us on home. He wants to send us packing. Take us home. And Rebecca in 29 had a brother whose name was Laban Blanco. And Laban ran out to the man as well. So it came to pass that he saw the nose ring, and he saw the wrists on the jewelry. And he heard the words of his sister Rebecca saying, thus the man spoke to me, that he went to the man, and he stood there at the camels at the well, and he said, come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels. Right, dude, you saw the shiny stuff. You wanted some for you, bro. Because we know this guy's going to show up in verse 39 somewhere, and or chapter 39. We're going to learn more about Laban when he gets to be an old guy. And I'm going to tell you what, this case, Leopard didn't change his spots. Still the same. Loves the world, loves the cash. And then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and fed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. I am not going to enjoy something for me before I have done what my master requires of me. Do you understand? He understands his place. And for the Christian, when you're treated like a servant and it no longer bothers you, you are then a man or woman of God. Put that in your plate and eat it. And the man of the house, he unloaded the house. Oh, I already said that. And he said, speak on. So he said, I'm Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he's become great, and he has given him flocks, herds, silver, gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master, and she was old. And to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife from my son, from the daughters of the Canaanites, and in whose land I dwell. But you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son. And I said to the master, perhaps the woman who will follow, not follow me. But he said, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with you and prosper your way. And you shall take a wife from my son and my family and from my father's house. Do you understand that this 900-mile trek was a divine appointment? You will be clear from this oath, and you will arrive among my family. For if they will not give her to you, then you are released from your oath. And on this day I came to the well. O Lord of my master Abraham, I will go now. You will now prosper the way in which I go, if you will. Behold, I stand at the well of the water, and it shall come to pass when a virgin comes out to draw the water, and I say to her, please give me a drink from the water from your pitcher. And she says, drink, and I'll get water for your camels also. Let her be the woman the Lord has appointed for my master's son. And it was done. But before I had finished speaking, in my heart there was Rebekah, there was entrapment, ensnare, coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down to the well, drew the water, and I said to her, please let me drink. And she made haste. She ran, dude. And let her pitcher down to the shoulder and said, drink and also feed your camel, drink your camel. So I drank, and she gave the camels a drink also. Then I asked her, I said, whose daughter are you? And she said, I'm the daughter of man of God, of Snor's son, whom queen bore to him. So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrist, and I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord God and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter out of my brother, master's brother, for his son. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me that I may turn to the left hand or to the right. However, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife. And the Lord has spoken. You know what happens here? They're hearing the Lord, and they're acting on it. And they're moving in that regard. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words that he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they rose in the morning, and he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10, and after this she may go. Understand, it's not 10 days. It is an idiom, in a sense. Oh, just stay a little while. And you know, a little while is always longer than a little while. This is like 10 months. Look, when the Lord has something for you, you do it. And the world's going to try to draw you in. It could even come in from your own family or friends or social media network, whatever it may be. can draw you and keep you from doing what the Lord has for you to do. What are you saying? I should disavow my parents? No, you should honor them, but your Father in heaven is the Father first. And if he calls you to go, you go. You don't horse around with it. And so when they called the young, they said, oh, let me see. Do not hinder the Lord to prosper my way and see my way. So they said in 57, we will call a young woman and ask her personally. Then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? He said, I will go. So they sent Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse. Her nurse's name was Deborah. You know what Deborah means? Bee. So if she had nieces and nephews, she'd be Aunt Bee. Okay, well, okay. That's for the Andy and Mayberry in the crowd. And Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those you hate, who hate them. You know something, dude? That's a blessing of God. Overcome your enemies and the mom here, and being a mom of many. Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode camels and followed the man. The servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac, a change. Now Isaac came the way of Beer Lahairoi, and he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked. And you know what that word, that beer means? Beer? It means well. But let me tell you something else what it means. This saying means the God who knows me. The well water is the God who knows me. So here's Isaac, mom died. Here's Isaac having to go wondering about his bride coming. And where is he meditating in the evening? He is meditating by the well of God who knows me. Where do we meditate that way? By the God who knows me, right? Where am I at? Somebody help me. Thanks, Bible. Okay, good. For he dwelt in the south in 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening and lifted his eyes, and the camels were coming. Do you notice that he does not run to them? Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and she saw Isaac. She dismounted from her camel, for she had said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? And then the servant said, it's my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. Do you know why she covered herself? It's customary for the woman to be veiled before she's married, before her groom. You guys have seen the wedding where the guy lifts the veil up and reveals his bride? Do you understand that this is a very ancient custom of doing so? When you know the traditions of a wedding, how can you not have a wedding that hasn't been steeped in the tradition of the word? You know? Veiled herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things he had done. And then Isaac brought her and Rebekah into Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife and loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Why did she take him into the tent, mom's tent? Well, there's something to that, but mom had passed, and now she's coming on. You know, she's coming on into the tent. She's coming into the family. Okay, you ready for your paint roller? We're going to roll over that canvas. You ready for the next one? You ready? No? Me neither. Let me turn a page. The Da Vinci painted over it, right? We're not painting over this out of dislike. We're painting over this out of understanding. Abraham's the father, right? Isaac is the son, right? The unnamed servant, the Holy Spirit. Rebekah is the bride. The 10 camels are the 10 commandments. And Sarah is Israel. What? The Father arranges the marriage, bride of Christ. The Father arranged the marriage. The Father arranged for you to be married to the Son. Do you understand? Go to, we'll pull on John 17:12, please. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. He's talking to God, Jesus. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them has lost except the son of perdition, that scripture might be fulfilled. He hasn't lost you. You're still his. The camels were a transportation vehicle to bring the bride, to go out to the bride, bring the bride back to the husband. And did you notice when she dismounted the camel, she had no longer use for it? The Ten Commandments show how we are in violation of us with God and us with people. And when we come to Jesus Christ, we no longer have need of them. We no longer have need of the law. Do you understand what we're saying? In a traditional wedding, it's simple. In that tradition, the ceremony, there's a cup of wine that's part of it, and they drink the cup of wine. And there's a dowry given. And then the son returns to his father's land and houses them as they build a house. Well, let me tell you something. That tradition of the bride and the groom coming together, and I'll call it the BOC, Bride of Christ, that's y'all, that's me, coming to drink from the cup of judgment, the wine, the blood, Matthew 26, 39, if we didn't already have it. He went a little while further and fell on his face, Jesus, and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." That's when they share that cup in the Jewish tradition. Do you see? And the dowry that's given, everything God had, everything Abraham had, was given to the servant. Everything God has is given to the Holy Spirit and given to us by the way of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Everything he died for was on the cross was at stake. We talked about the servant having everything that Abraham had when he got on the camels. Pretty crazy, huh? His life given for us. John 14, 2 and 3. When the groom gets done, he goes and builds a place for his bride. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, just like a groom would do for his bride. What's the whole deal with Sarah and Rebecca in the tent? Sarah is one person. Rebecca is a whole different person. There is not a replacement there. There's just two different people. Sarah represents Israel, who abandoned the house, didn't believe. She had died. Rebecca was brought in, but she didn't come in to replace Sarah. Couldn't have. She was there just for that next bride. We, as the bride of Christ, we're not in replacement theology here. We are not replacing Israel. Israel, God is not done with. We just are grafted into the family. You ever seen that story quite this way before? You have read it, yeah? Well, this is a very clear indication of what God has done with us as a whole and in entirety. We don't displace Israel. God is not done with them. Go to Romans, and you'll turn your Bibles, please. Go to Romans 11. Romans 11, 11, 31, 11, 11, chapter 11, verse 11 through 31. Bit of a reading. I say then, had they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not, this Israel, certainly not. But through their fall to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. For if their being cast away is reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches that were broken off. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say, branches were broken off that I might be. They fell away. And I hear people preach like that. They fell away just to put us in, and they have no worth. That is not true. We don't brag on that. We are thankful. Lord, falling on our face. You will say, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said, well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith, but don't be haughty, but fear, respect. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Don't get so high and mighty. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God on those who fell. Severity, but towards you, goodness. If you continue in his goodness, otherwise you'll be cut off. And if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Life comes back. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature, a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted in for their own olive tree? For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of the mystery, lest you be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. Do you understand? The door to allow us to be grafted in. Thank you, Lord. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them. I will take away their sins. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts of the calling, and the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so we also have now been disobedient, that though mercy be mercy shown you, they also obtain mercy. Do you understand what's going on there? Israel's still in the picture. Please, if you hear replacement theology, that's not what we teach. This is an observance of what God already ordained. And you can see it just as clear as a bell. I kept wondering, why the 10 camels? And I'm like, Lord, thank you. Just thank you. Rebecca worked hard out of the joy of her heart. The servant worked hard out of the joy in his heart. God gave his all when his son Jesus, his life to trade for ours. We trade our life back. We work hard for him. When you're talking to people about Jesus Christ, if somebody has been humbled, show them grace. If somebody is haughty and proud, show them the law, the Ten Commandments. Do you understand? You don't need to show the Ten Commandments somebody's already broken. They're broken. Show them unmerited favor. And the ones that are going, I got all this in a new shirt, show them the law. Because I'll tell you what, you look at the law, all the thou shalt nots, every one of us have broken every one of them. Before we do our last song, when they come in, if not, we'll just do communion on the quiet. What did you hear today? What did you see today? Go. Larry, what did you see? If something comes up, bark it out, okay? What did you see? It's a lot, wasn't it? Anybody else? A lot? Pardon? Abraham's part? Sending somebody out with the vision? Mm-hmm. Yep. Anybody else? What you got, bro?
It's more of how God just intertwines the scriptures together. And how you can't even take it at face value in a sense. Like, it's deeper than just the face value.
Because we could have brushed right through that, right?
Yeah.
But when you start breaking it down, that's why the Da Vinci thing makes so much sense. It pictures one way, and now it's pictured another. And both are true in that sense. Sis, how about you? Blesses him too. You know how it is when your kids, when they line up, You ask them to go get a hammer, and they go get a hammer and come right back to you. You ask them to go help take out the trash, and they go take out the trash and come right back to you. And it just warms your soul when your kids are obedient, right? That's how it is with us and the Father. You know, he just wants us there. Go ahead, sis.
How in tune they were to the Lord. Mm. I think for so many of us Christians walking in this world today, we're in tune with more of just the world or just the natural. But mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Right. And what takes us from that? The fish? Dory? You know? The screens? Right? Why are you picking on screens? I use them all the time. But if they are an abutment to your walk with the Lord, might as well pluck them out because they're in your eye. You know? Little sis, did you hear anything today? What did God speak? The obedience? Shalicia?
Not questioning or fighting God's plan for you.
Oh, that's a big one. Yeah. Did you guys get anything out of it? I know you taught another lesson. You're just coming fresh out of that one.
For me, just learning, because knowing the story before, how many of us can either talk like a servant or act like a servant? Because there's plenty of people that talk like it, but just like that servant being an old dude, taking everything that mm-hmm. however long that journey was, it takes a servant's heart to be able to do that. Rebecca, only hearing stories of the groom, just like what we hear of Jesus through the stories recorded, and of course it's always led by the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and that unnamed assistant, just like the Holy Spirit, we don't have a name attributed to him like we do mm-hmm. Jesus,
right.
God the Father, Yahweh.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He's unnamed in this storytelling. Anything come to you guys? Bev? Scott?
Just be obedient. I'll just be
obedient. Father, communion's here. Yay! Get to do communion. Yes. We get to get reminded about what all this is about. Did you have anything, Molly?
That you should run to do the Lord's work. You shouldn't dig your heels in the ground. And I think that a lot of times nowadays, there's a lot of people who dig their heels in the ground when God calls them.
Do you know what happens when the Lord calls and you dig your heels in the ground? You know what happens? Heel marks. You're going to yeah. look like a freshly furrowed field, right? With your heel marks. You know what the thing is? You know what the hardest bone is in the body? The heel. Don't be a heel. Communion's up here for you. Enjoy. Father, we thank you and appreciate you. We just thank you and appreciate you. And that's it.